If it is well with your soul, pick your Bible and let us feed the soul. Galatians chapter 4. We pick a text, then we sit down. Then we continue from where we stopped last week. Amen. Verse 22 and verse 23. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. Father, we thank you. Because we can confidently say we are children of promise. But many of us may not understand how we are children of promise. That is the purpose, Lord, of this sermon. Come and grant us understanding, Lord. Come and bless us today and bless our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Be seated. Praise the Lord. Okay, we are continuing where we started last Sunday. It is important that you catch what I want to bring out. Many of us are members of this church. I mean, some of us are members of this church, and some may really not understand what makes us different from the denominations. And that's exactly what I want to achieve by this teaching I titled A Review. A Review of the Bride and the Denominations. It's a review because we have taken it in different ways before. But maybe the way I want to talk about it now may make it clearer for someone who has not understood. This is aimed at making you know, like I said last week, the reason for the shout stage of the restoration message. Because the rapture starts with a shout. It starts with a shout, so that you'll understand why it has to start with a shout. So that you'll understand why you have to give diligence, like Apostle Peter said, to make your calling and election sure. And also, number three, to understand why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And number four, to understand the reason why salvation is by election. It is by election. It's not he that runneth, it's not he that willeth, but God that showeth mercy. And number five, to understand why when it comes to salvation, Christ will always drop it by parable, why he spoke in parables. And to understand that parable clearly, that parable of the wheat and the tares, is all talking about the church of Jesus Christ. So you understand the book of life, and to understand that there is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. Last week, I tried to stress a fact, a truth of the estate of the church. Now, you must understand that the church is a mixed multitude. The church is a mixed multitude. And that is why, just like the natural church, Apostle Paul said, Israel is the natural church. The bride church is the spiritual church, the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jehovah is Israel. And the church of Jesus Christ is the bride church. Praise God. And then Apostle Paul, concerning the natural church, he says that not only Israel is of Israel. So we too can confidently say, not all Christians are of Christ. And that is what we want to establish. Hallelujah. The mixed multitude, what caused the mixture? Different reasons caused the mixture. Satan also caused the mixture. That is what is called mystery of iniquity. And anything that is a mystery, you need God to decode it for your understanding. And you need to understand this mixture that has constituted the church of Jesus Christ for you to see the reason why you don't just follow the bandwagon. You ensure, look, salvation is a personal thing. You face yourself first before you look at any other person. So that things that you hear happening in the churches, among Christians, in Christendom, they will not surprise you or stumble you out. The church is a mixed multitude. And we looked at that mystery. Hallelujah. We looked at it because everything we see in the Old Testament, the stories we see in the Old Testament, they are shadow. God was speaking of something that is to come, then he laid a shadow that will let us understand how the perfect church will look like. We will come to that later in another teaching, where we try to let us understand that picture clearer and clearer and clearer. That there is nothing happening on earth today that has taken God by surprise. That is why he is God. And that it will look as if God is helpless. He's not helpless. And that don't serve God as if God needs your help. Don't serve God as if without you, he cannot do something. Get revelation enough to know that whatever God is happening on earth, God is allowing it to achieve his purpose. Praise the Lord. When you have that in mind, then it will help you to know how to walk with him. But it's good that we catch a picture. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Let's open 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians This is the way Apostle Paul put it. From verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The perfection here is talking about maturity. Yet not the wisdom of this world. It's not philosophy. It's not theology. It's not academics. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in a hidden form. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hey, study. There are some scriptures, when you read like this and you see where you belong, you get excited. It says a hidden wisdom God ordained it before me, before the world, this world was formed, this world system, this earth was formed. God has already ordained it. And he ordained it unto our glory. That is the sonship, an eternal being that he has ordained you to be. Hallelujah. He ordained it from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God has designed a glorious, hallelujah, a glorious life for us, that he will have us as a father and a son, a child relationship, higher than angels. Hey, praise God. Higher than angels. Angels are servants. We are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. He is a master to angels. He is a father to us. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And he, whatever has been going on in creation of man and all the activities that are going on, he is only leading to fulfill one thing. At the end of the program, he will get a people from this earth for that glory that he has arranged and set aside and ordained for all of us. I don't know how many people will be part of that glory. Amen. Hallelujah. If you cannot be part of that glory and then be weary when it comes to the things of the Spirit. You get alert. You get strength, excited to chase a business that you know there is profit in it. You are sure there is gain, there is profit in it. You wake up 5 a.m., you're on the road already to get the market and sell because there is profit. See the zeal you put to make that profit because you know there is profit. But when it comes to eternal life, Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it put in the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love his appearing. And you say you are waiting for that glorious thing, you are chasing that thing. Anytime it comes to service of God, you are reluctant. See the time some people come to church. 2 hours after service has started. See, the people sit down in the church and they are sleeping. When it's time to worship, see your attitude towards salvation generally. It's a reflection of your revelation. Because we know where your zeal is. Because you have a revelation of profit. But this profit that is awaiting the believers, you don't have that revelation. How do I know? It is reflected in your attitude towards the things of God. That is what Apostle Paul, and the reason is because it is a wisdom that is hidden. Unless it is revealed to you, you will serve God the way you are serving him. You can't do more than to just be a religious person. Very proud of the church you belong. Very proud of who your pastor is. I'm very proud of your position in that church. I am elder. I am deacon. We are the decision makers. We are. See what you are boasting of. Boasting of all everything in the church, but nothing to boast in Christ. It's because of revelation. You don't have it. I read it again, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. None of them knew. None of them knew. But had they known it, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Break it down. All these people who make caricature of the Lord Jesus Christ, If they know who Jesus is, they will not be making caricature of that name. They will not be messing up with that name. The princes are the big, big men in the society. There are also princes in the so-called church of Jesus Christ. The big Jews and the big archbishops and the big, big reverend doctors. Right and left doctors. Reverend doctors. If they have known who Jesus is, they will not bring comedians to the church. If they have known who Jesus is, they will not be doing some of the things they are doing. The reason is because that wisdom is not revealed to them. Hallelujah. Verse 9. But as it is written, hey, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. This is where I am going. But God has revealed them unto us. That's where I am going. He has revealed those hidden things. It's hidden to them, but it's revealed to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yet the deep things of God. And one of the deep things of God concerning salvation is what we are trying to share now. So that you will understand why the Church of Jesus Christ is the way it is now. Who they are, who we are. Praise the Lord. So, a type, he put it together in types and shadows. A shadows. We try to look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. God allowed it. He was speaking of the condition that the church will go through. We get to know in the present setting of the church. In the present setting, we proved it. Who the woman represent, Eve represent, who Cain represent, and who Abel represents. Today, all that was speaking was speaking, all that story is speaking about the composition of the church of Jesus Christ before the rapture. That woman is the church. Adam is Christ. Praise the Lord. That woman is the church. And that woman produced two types of children. Two types of believers. Cain and Abel. Abel was planted by Adam. So Christ was explaining that to us using the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13 from verse 24. And so that you will know that in the church, Satan also has planted his own in the church. The womb, one womb of a woman, same mother but different fathers. Same, forget them coming to the altar and then say they give their life to Christ. They are entering the womb. Oh, glory be to God. They are entering the womb. But the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, Adam know his own. Adam know his own. Amen. And every woman knows the father of the child she's carrying. So that's the condition of the church. Don't deceive yourself when you see anything happening. That is the reason why he said that not all that say, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Abel brought a sacrifice according to the perfect will of God. Cain, oh yeah, now, come and do the same thing. Cain refused. But in that day, they will say, was it not in your name I did this, in your name I did that, in your name I cast out devil, in your name I turned the city upside down, in your name I even brought comedians into the church and made us all happy. And note the answer. He will say, I never knew you. Amen. This knowing that I never knew you, get him away from me, ye that walk iniquity. When did he know us that he knows? Those that he knows, when did he know them? The day they gave their life to Christ? The day they were casting out devil? Amen. From the foundation of the world, he searched the book of life. Their names were not there. I never knew you. Praise the Lord. But they were in the church, but not planted by Christ himself. It's a mystery. Therefore, he added, by their fruits, ye shall know them. By their fruits. So, same mother, but different fathers. The one we want to look at today now is the one that is the same father, but different mothers. It's another mystery about the church. The same father, but different mothers. And that story, you have to take time to read it. Genesis chapter 16, chapter 17, up to chapter 21. You know, chapter 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 chapters is talking about Abraham and his family. Hallelujah. Remember, it's a familiar story. Abraham had a wife. What is her name? Sarah. And they stayed for so long, no child. And Sarah decided to advise the husband. He said, since God has closed my womb so that you will not be without a child, I have a slave girl here, my servant here. She's a slave. She's not a house help. She is not a house help. Hagar was a slave. He was part of the property of Sarah. So she decides what to do with her. She was not employed and paid salary. She was her property. Gave her to him. Going into her and let her raise children unto you. And Abraham gladly, maybe he was eyeing the girl before him, because he didn't argue at all. Praise God. Anything you tell me to do, honey, I will do it. Amen. And quickly, he took over. Chop, chop, chop. The girl took in. And before you know what, hallelujah. She took in, immediately she got pregnant. The Bible says she began to despise her mistress, Sarah. Then Sarah showed and said, let me get you, let me go finish you. Praise God. Amen. And before you know what, the torture was too much. I'm paraphrasing the story you read in these chapters I gave you from verse 6, chapter 16. And before you know what, it was the house became unbearable and she ran away. went and stood somewhere and was crying. Now take note. There are some key things there that bring this picture very, very clear. And then the woman, an angel appeared. And if you read that story, the way that angel spoke, he didn't speak like an angel, he spoke like God. He spoke with authority. I will do this by this same time. Only God speaks like that. So the God of heaven himself came and met her like an angel. What are you doing here, Hagar? Hey, now my mistress, they wire me too much. Naim. The angel said, go back home and submit yourself to her. And so she went back home and began to behave herself. Shortly after, she gave birth to a son. Amen. And not just that, amen, the angel named that baby that is in the womb and blessed that baby that is in the womb. God blessed that baby, even named the baby. The child shall be called Ishmael. Thus said the Lord. That child is called from the womb. And even promised that that child, Ishmael, will be a great nation. He said 12 princes will come out of that. 12 nations will come from him. We bless him exceedingly. Amen. I'm only repeating what I have preached here several times before. But in case you are hearing it for the first time, catch it. We are talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And before you know what, hallelujah. The boy grew. When he became 30 years old, he was already 30 years old when God visited Sarah. Now let's see how God visited Sarah now. Chapter 17, Genesis. Chapter 17, from verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, that was when God came back to Abraham to enter into a covenant that was sealed with circumcision. Hallelujah. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Sarai, Sarah, Sarai. She won't be Sarai, she'll be Sarah. Sarah means princess. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. The same type of blessing he blessed Ishmael. Verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, maybe you are making a mistake. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Because now the child, where I get with that? Maybe now here they see for that vision, where they talk. Now Ishmael. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, certainty, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for that your Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. Hey, 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But that is where we are going. That is where we are going. That is where we are going. But somebody shout but. Say but very well. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, not Ishmael. Which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this same time in the next year. Hallelujah. The same father, but different mothers. The same God, but different churches. The denominational church and the bride church. The same father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that you begin to understand the depth of these scriptures. John chapter 6, verse 37. Listen now. Study. Grammar. That's why I love the legal profession. They don't just read anything. They go read to see waiting. They go catch there and then hold. Go here, go right, go left. All. See. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There are two statements here. There is the one that the Father gave. There is the one that God himself gave. Amen. To Abraham. Amen. See, all that the Father giveth shall come to me. They will come to me. Then he added, and if on your own come to me, I will know why cast away. But no one can come to me except the Father which sent me draw you. And I will raise him up at the last day. The only people that will go in the rapture are those that the Father himself will bring to Jesus. You have a son, they are Christians, but it's not God that called them. You became Christians through your own ideas. Not by a call. And looking at the church of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaac was a child of promise. Which promise? Are we referring to as far as the church is concerned? It's Joel chapter 2 verse 28. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And that prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But there was a promise. It's a child of promise. God spoke to Abraham. And when God, according to the scriptures as we read, and the history tells us, that even, amen, God has been promising. That's not the first time. That's why Abraham doubted. Earlier on, God had met Abraham and promised him a child. But the Bible says, that promise did not come to pass until 25 years after. Yet, God watches over his word to perform it. When God promises you, he cannot fail. Hallelujah. He told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 4 that they should go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 24 verse 49, he told them also to go to Jerusalem and tarry ye until you be endued with power from on high. Praise the Lord. That is a church of promise. That church that he promised. Jeremiah 31 promised it. Ezekiel 36 promised it. All these promises of this glorious bride church, hallelujah, was there. But before that promise will come to pass, before the rapture, before God will conclude production of this, the birth of this glorious church, there was an idea that was given. Praise the Lord. There was an idea that was given. But the true church is a church of promise. The true church, hallelujah, because you have to understand that because they could not wait, because she could not wait, she came up with an idea that produced another church, that produced Ishmael. Therefore, we have the spiritual church and we have the carnal church. And they are all together looked at as the church of Jesus Christ by people who don't have revelation of what the promised church should look like. But this mystery is revealed to us by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because John chapter 3 verse 6 says, he that is born of the Spirit is what? Is spirit. What he means there is that he that is born of the Spirit is spiritual. Can we read it? John chapter 3, when he was talking about being born again, verse 6. He said, that which is born of the flesh. Hallelujah. How is it born of the flesh? We are trying to use it to describe the difference between the new birth and the natural birth. But we also see it in the birth of Ishmael and Isaac. Let's read it. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Actually, you should read it this way. That which is born of the flesh is carnal, and that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. Why? They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So take it that there is a spiritual church and a carnal church. And the spiritual church is not that you see vision. Amen. The spiritual church is not that you cast out devils. Hallelujah. The spiritual church is not that you fall down the anointing. The spiritual church is not that when you come, everybody is in the spirit. Everybody, hey, take it, woo, everybody. This is a spiritual church. Because Selah is a spiritual church. Aladura is a spiritual church. Oluma is a spiritual church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Mercyland is a spiritual church. Synagogue is a spiritual church. It's a spiritual church. Because there is a spirit that is moving there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't think that there is no spirit there. There is spirit there. There is spirit, or there is a spirit there. But which spirit? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They cannot judge. This is how Christ described them in Matthew 15, verse 9. Matthew 15 and verse 9. He said, but, amen, in vain they do worship me. What do they do? Why is it vain? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Mark chapter 7 also, and verse 9, in vain, in vain, in vain, in vain, in vain. He said, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Which commandment of men do they reject? Go and present water baptism to Catholic Church, to Anglican Church, to any of these denominations, then you will understand this verse. This is how we do it here. That is the meaning of tradition. Hallelujah. They reject what is written in the Bible and hold on to their own tradition. So that you'll understand why Apostle Paul spoke in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, 6, 7. Let's read from verse 5. Romans chapter 8. So that you'll understand, as you study the Bible, you now know why the Bible stresses some of these things. Verse 5, Romans chapter 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed it can be. So that you will know why God rejected Ishmael. Ishmael did not commit sin. But what produced him is the source, the origin is what disqualified him. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed it can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when I speak, I say, the denomination can never produce anybody to go in the rapture. You now know why I say it. But you, the bride of Jesus Christ, I didn't mean the bride church, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the true church. And some of those members of the true church, they are here. They are not hearing me. I said they are here. If they are here, then let them make noise. Now let's know that they are here now. He said, who among you 12, the person that will betray me is here. And Peter said, is it I? John, with his head on his shoulder, is it I? Then Judas too, with the treasury, the purse, where don't thief money tire. He said, is it I? I said, let the bride of Jesus Christ put up their hand. Everybody say, yeah. Even Judas jumping up. But ye are not in the spirit, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Right? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That is why Galatians chapter 5, if you read it from verse 16 to up to verse 18, it says you should walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then Apostle Paul, concerning the natural church, he says that not all Israel is of Israel. So we too can confidently say, not all Christians are of Christ. The mixed multitude, what caused the mixture? Different reasons caused the mixture. Satan also caused the mixture. That is what is called mystery of iniquity. And anything that is a mystery, you need God to decode it for your understanding. So the things that you hear happening in the churches, among Christians, in Christendom, they will not surprise you or stumble you out. And that it will look as if God is helpless. He's not helpless. And that don't serve God as if God needs your help. Don't serve God as if without you, he cannot do something. Get revelation enough to know that whatever God is happening on earth, God is allowing it to achieve his purpose. Caricature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they know who Jesus is, they will not be making caricature of that man. They will not be messing up with that man. The princes are the big men in the society. There are also princes in the so-called church of Jesus Christ. The big Jews and the big archbishops and the big reverend doctors. Right and left doctors, reverend doctors. If they have known who Jesus is, they will not bring comedians to the church. If they have known who Jesus is, they will not be doing some of the things they are doing. The reason is because that wisdom is not revealed to them. That we go in the rapture are those that the Father himself will bring to Jesus. Father promised will come to pass before the rapture, before God will conclude production of this, the birth of this glorious church. There was an idea that was given. But the true church is a church of promise. Aladura is a spiritual church. Oluma is a spiritual church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Mercyland is a spiritual church. Synagogue is a spiritual church. It's a spiritual church. Because there is a spirit that is moving there. And don't think that there is no spirit there. There is spirit there. But which spirit? of the Spirit is different from the manifestation of the Spirit. If a man be in Christ, a new creature, then what is the old creature you were before? What can you say? I was this, now I am this. There are Christians that are Christians by the will of man. Your pastor is the one that pronounced you a Christian. The glory of God is displayed in the confession of a sinner to a saint. The glory of God is not in casting out spirits, in seeing vision, in teaching, in preaching, in night vigil with grace to pray so day, or to fast so day. That is not where the glory of God is. The glory of God is displayed by the testimony that I once was lost, but now I am found. Take note, the glory of God is displayed in the life that you live, and yet it is not you that liveth, but Christ that liveth in you. The bride church, the promised church, he gave all. All there includes decoding the mystery of salvation, revelation of divine agenda. Hallelujah. He broke all the mysteries for redemption, broke it to the bride. But to the denomination, he gave them what? Gifts. They know nothing other than signs and wonders. Even including prosperity is a gift.